Sometimes it can seem that mercy and justice are opposed to each other. When U.S. presidents give out their presidential pardons, it can sometimes seem like they are perverting justice, letting the guilty go free, as was the case that many thought with Gerald Ford, who pardoned his predecessor, Richard Nixon. Here, mercy seems to crowd out justice. But often it is justice that seems to push out mercy. Think of all the people who were illegally brought into this country as children by their parents, and who now face deportation to a foreign country. It is no wonder that polls show that 70% of Americans think that these dreamers should be shown mercy and be allowed to stay, although strict justice under the law would demand that they be deported. We can often feel that justice and mercy are opposed in our own lives as well. When a wrong has been done to me, I seek justice and punishment for the guilty. But when it is I who have sinned, well, then I'm all about mercy and forgiveness. But what about God? We are told in today's psalm over and over again that the Lord's mercy endures forever. But in other places, the psalmist says that the Lord is just in all his ways. And Isaiah the prophet records God saying, "For I, the Lord, love justice." So which is it? Is God just or is God merciful? Well, although we have a hard time reconciling these two ideas, for God, all things are possible, and God is infinitely merciful and at the exact same time, infinitely just. For God, justice and mercy are two sides of the very same coin. And this coin is Jesus, who, being man, bore in his own person all of the punishments due to us for sin. Now, punishment is the morally good response to sin. If a parent were to never punish their children when they misbehaved, we would say that the parent was in fact harming their children by withholding the necessary remedy for wrongdoing. How else would they learn? So Jesus satisfies all justice by bearing the punishment of sin due to us. This is a weight that is too heavy for us to bear. But being God, Jesus can bear it for us. Moreover, he mercifully applies this medicine, this remedy for sin, to us, which he has won at the price of his own suffering and blood. But this cannot happen if we do not accept it, if we do not admit our own sinfulness, and in faith turn to Jesus for forgiveness and express sorrow through an act of penance, and in that way share in and participate truly in Jesus' act of redemption. When Jesus appears to his disciples, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Here, Jesus gives the church a great gift, the sacrament of confession, where the priest who stands in the place of Christ really does forgive our sins. And he gives us a small penance so that we may fully unite our wills in sorrow to Christ's will on the cross, his will that desired our salvation. But how do we know that this is the case? How do we know that when Father Vincent says, through the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When he says that in the confessional, how do we know that we are absolved from our sins? And even more, how do we know that Jesus really does forgive us our sins? If Father Vincent were to say, through the ministry of the church, I absolve you from all your speeding tickets. Well, you would find that the city would still expect a check in the mail. So let's recall when Jesus, early in his ministry, was curing the sick, and a large crowd gathered around the house where he was. And so some people had a paralyzed man, and they cleverly climbed upon the roof and opened up the tiles on the top of the roof and lowered the paralytic down through them. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he says to the man, your sins are forgiven. And then, because those in the crowd objected, rightly so, that only God can forgive sins, what did Jesus do? Jesus cured the paralytic, the paralyzed man. He said, take up your mat and walk. And so, to show that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. Well, in a way, we are like that crowd. We are like doubting Thomas. And just as it's hard for us sometimes to believe that we can truly be forgiven, so it was hard for Thomas to believe that Jesus could rise from the dead. Jesus gives us the gift of faith. He says to Thomas, have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us. That is us. We are blessed by that gift of faith. Faith in Jesus' gift to the church of the sacrament of ordination, by which priests receive from Christ, among other things, that authority to forgive sins that was just given to the disciples at in the gospel reading today. And Jesus also gives us the gift of faith in the sacrament of confession itself and tells us not to be unbelieving, but to believe. And while we cannot put our finger into the nail wounds in the hands of Jesus, we can listen to Jesus in today's gospel, giving this authority to the church. We can listen to the countless people in our community who have experienced the wonderful and transformational mercy of God in the sacrament. And I count myself among them. Many people ask me, Brother, why is it that you want to become a priest? And for me, it's because when I was young, I had the same experience of sin that many people do. But I also had the experience of healing through the sacrament of confession, through having God forgive me and give me the grace through the priest to go and to do better in the future. And I wanted, and I still want to do that in the future, to be able to bring, as God's instrument, forgiveness. And so we can, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, follow the example of Sister Faustina, who instituted the Divine Mercy image we see over here, and the wonderful phrase that goes below it, Jesus, I trust in you. And today, Jesus calls all of us to trust in him. Jesus did many other signs that are in the presence of his disciples that are not written down in the Bible. And some of these miracles are still happening today. But these are written so that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through this belief that we may have life in his name. So believe. Christ is risen truly from the dead. He has trampled down death by death itself. And to us who are dead in sin, he has restored life.